You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm continuing now my series on the symbols of the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk to you about a symbol that reveals the Holy Spirit's unpredictable nature. Wind is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an oversimplification. I don't want to get into the details of the Greek and the Hebrew, but understand this. In the Old Testament, the word for spirit is ruach. The Hebrew word ruach can mean spirit, wind, or even breath. In the New Testament, the word for spirit is pneuma, which can also mean spirit, wind, or breath. Of course, as far as the words and languages, there is much more to it than that, but for the sake of simplicity, just note that ruach and pneuma can mean spirit, wind, or breath. Now, I want to emphasize this. I emphasized this in the first session, but I want to emphasize this again. Just because you see wind somewhere in the Bible doesn't mean that that automatically represents the Holy Spirit. Sometimes wind is just wind, but sometimes wind is the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 say this: On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. I love this right here. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. I love this about the Holy Spirit. He comes in suddenly and from seemingly nowhere, and whirls about the atmosphere, causing change and transformation. This is the unpredictable nature of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say unpredictable, I don't mean unreliable. I simply mean that the Holy Spirit is not obligated to tell us what He's doing in every single moment. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will move in such a way that will cause you and your agenda to feel disrupted. But this doesn't mean He's not orderly. This just means He has His order. He has His agenda. He has something He wants to accomplish. And when His agenda disrupts our agenda, we must follow the agenda of the Holy Spirit. He is like the wind. He is invisible, yet powerful, unpredictable and sudden. He is the unpredictable Spirit who, as I said, comes in, whirling about, shifting things around. If ever you find yourself in a place where you feel like you cannot move forward, if ever you find that the spiritual wind, so to speak, has been knocked out of you because of some tragedy or trial, you can rest assured that the presence of the Holy Spirit will come in suddenly, breathing new life, breathing the breath of God into you and causing you to move forward. John chapter 20, verse 22 says, Then He breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, I was praying late into the night, as I often do. And I ended this prayer session at probably around 1 a.m. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will call me out from my sleep and wake me up to pray. And other times the Holy Spirit will just keep me up. And I love those moments I have with the Holy Spirit. But I went to bed worshiping. There's no better way to go to sleep. I went to bed worshiping. I went to bed meditating on Scripture. I went to bed praying. I went to bed aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was praying in my mind as I fell asleep. And because I fell asleep in the presence of the Holy Spirit, I began to dream heavenly things. And then, seemingly out of nowhere, I remember I was awakened suddenly by this sensation that ran through my body. One of the best ways I've come to describe it is like this. It's like on a really hot day when you take a glass of ice-cold water and you drink it and you can feel the water moving through your body. And it's so cold, it's almost shocking. It's this strong sensation. Well, in the same way, I felt like when I took a breath, I remember waking up, breathing in. And when I awoke and breathed in, I remember I felt like what would be, in my mind, the breath of God. It felt like to me what the breath of God would feel like if you breathed it in. I remember when I breathed in, it was like every cell in my body was invigorated. I came to life. And I remember it was like drinking a cold glass of water, but it was a breath. And when I took that breath, I awoke and I was alive and my whole body was tingling. I could feel like this electric sensation on me. But that breath did something in me, and I woke up, I began praying in tongues, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, when I tell you that the presence of the Holy Spirit manifested in my room, I'm telling you, the presence of the Holy Spirit manifested in my room. I felt like I was in my own little piece of heaven on earth. And I'll tell you this, what I sense with the Holy Spirit, this is just something personal I'll share with you. What I sense with the Holy Spirit when I pray, when I worship on my own, is always stronger than even what I sense in the services. So those of you who've come to the services that are ministry hosts, you've sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you this, in those private times with the Holy Spirit, the sense of His presence is even stronger than in those meetings. So I remember I woke up, I felt this breath, this sensation. I began to pray and worship, and I just enjoyed my time in the presence of God. It was an indication to me that His presence was with me. It was something that He allowed me to experience, this other side to Him as the breath of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. He is the breath not only that sustains the Spirit, not only that brings the Spirit in you to life, but get this, He is the breath that sustains all living beings. All living beings. Not every man and woman has the Holy Spirit living in them. That's Romans 8, 9. But all living human beings, all living beings on earth are at least sustained by the breath of God. Genesis 2, 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In Job chapter 33, verse 4, the scripture says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." The Holy Spirit sustains all life, not just life for the redeemed, but also for the unredeemed. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 says this, "Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the Spirit to them that walk therein." The presence of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, sustains all life on earth. So, the breath of the Holy Spirit brings life to you spiritually. The breath of God, who is the Holy Spirit, sustains all life for both the redeemed and the unredeemed. Again, this does not mean that they're filled with the Holy Spirit or marked by the Holy Spirit in the same way that the redeemed are, but this is to say that the Holy Spirit is the one who sustains all life here on earth. Think about that. All life, all breath, sustained by His mighty power, sustained by His mighty life-giving ability. And that same power is available to you on a daily basis, believer. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will always come and breathe upon you in a fresh way when you need Him most. Earlier, I was talking to you about those moments where you just feel spiritually drained, like the life has gone out of you, like there really is no strength to move forward. The breath of God, the Holy Spirit, will breathe on you in such a way that you'll be invigorated, that your spirit will jump to life. And all it takes is one breath to keep you going another several years. That is the breath of the Holy Spirit. That breath could sustain you for a lifetime if only you stay surrendered to the moving of that breath. Now, the wind tells us of the Holy Spirit's unpredictability, His sudden working. He adds movement to our spiritual lives. He is the Spirit. He is the wind. He is the breath. Coming from seemingly nowhere, He is not predictable. Time and time again in the services as I'm ministering, I will just worship God. If you've ever been to the service, I know I talked about the service already, but this is a great example because this is where I've seen Him move like a wind. In those services, after I minister the gospel of salvation, I'll just minister to the Lord through worship. I try to forget about everybody around me. I try to forget about the cameras. In fact, I do forget about everyone around me. I do forget about the cameras. I do forget about anyone sitting behind me or in front of me, anywhere in that room. What I do is I begin to minister to the Lord. I begin to sing worship to Him. I don't ask Him for anything. I'm not saying, Lord, do this or Lord, do that. I'm just adoring Him. I'm just loving Him. And as I worship God, I'm telling you, there are times when I can sense, moving past me and into the crowd, this sudden burst of wind. And when that sudden burst of wind comes into the room, that whole atmosphere shifts. The people of God come to life. Miracles begin to happen. People become refreshed in His presence. There's no trick to it. There's no method to it. It really is just the presence of the Holy Spirit. So how do you receive that breath? How do you receive that breath of life? How do you cause that wind to blow on you in a fresh way? Maybe you're a minister watching, and you've been working as a faithful and a good servant, and you've been moving forward, and you've been plowing the ground, you've been sowing the seeds, you've been doing all that you can to win souls, to build believers. But as a worker in God's field, you just sense this tiredness, this weariness. Maybe you're in a season of chaos, of transition, of uncertainty, and you've just been drained. You feel like you've lost your spiritual breath. The Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you again. Think about this. The disciples must have had the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the 72 disciples in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You see, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells us that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit. So if Jesus functioned in the power of the Holy Spirit, then so did His disciples. How did His disciples cast out devils? How did His disciples heal the sick? How did His disciples preach the gospel in power? They did it because they had the Holy Spirit. So those disciples, the 72, had the Holy Spirit working in them. And then later on, we see in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive Him in a different way, a different grace for a new kind of work. So they had the breath of the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus breathed on them. They receive it again. And then Acts chapter 2, those same who were there with Jesus when He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, those very same disciples were the ones who gathered in Acts chapter 2 and who received the infilling of the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. So that is a third breath of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. But it doesn't end there. Because in Acts chapter 4, when the scripture tells us that all the believers got together to pray again, including Peter and John, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit fell on them in a fresh way and they began to pray in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again in Acts chapter 4. In fact, a new boldness came on them. A fresh anointing for miracles came on them. So the breath of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time occurrence. That breath will sustain you. It's like spiritual breathing, breathing in and out. When I breathe the power of the Holy Spirit in, I'm being filled. And then when I go and move in power, I'm releasing that breath. And then I go and breathe in. And again, it is a rhythm, it is a movement, it is a consistent lifestyle of receiving that breath, that you might be a breath of fresh air to others. But the Holy Spirit will come and breathe again. He did it for the disciples that first time when they were called into ministry to work with Jesus. He did it for the disciples when Jesus breathed on them in John chapter 20. He did it for those same disciples in Acts chapter 2. And He did it for those same disciples in Acts chapter 4. The Holy Spirit wants to breathe fresh wind upon you, and it's time to receive it now. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.